This is Take 5 with Will Batchelor.
City Talk 105.9, the home of great conversation and now great music as well. And this is Will Batchelor joining you for another Take 5, the show which each and every weekday invites a different guest to imagine that their house is on fire. Sounds fairly horrible, doesn't it, really? It is in a way, but the good news is their family are out, their pets are out, and all they have to do is dash back in and rescue five records from the flames. Which five singles would you rescue if you're in that situation? It's a tough one. But, you know, we don't go easy on people here. And the lady putting herself into that unfortunate metaphorical position today is Debbie Jones, former broadcaster, TV presenter, and now prospective parliamentary candidate for Sefton Central. Debbie, how are you doing?
I'm absolutely super, thanks, Will.
Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
I was about to call you an old pro, but that's...
Well, no, you've actually hit the nail on the head there.
only in broadcasting terms, of course.
Yeah, in broadcasting terms, of course. I was blown here. It's wild out there today.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. And you are indeed no stranger to the mic, are you? Because you started off your career at a different radio station based in Liverpool.
I started at a different radio station. And then I actually had moved to Radio City as well. So I was a presenter there, done bits for Radio 5 Live, you know, all over the place. I think what happens, you reach a stage in your life where you've done it, so you're a reliable old workhorse. They know that you won't throw a hissy fit or, you know, you just get in, you do it.
Well, I'll try my best to wind you up, shall I, during the next hour. And I'll see if I can get a hissy fit out of Debbie Jones. It will be a challenge for me
for the next
hour. It's interesting, isn't it? Because some people would say that, you know, a career in the media is not proper grounding for a career in politics. You should have worked in business or industry or something like that. Whereas actually, as you've touched on, sometimes, you know, having to sort of work hard and stretch yourself in the media is just what you need for politics.
It is. And also, bear in mind, Will, I'm older than I look. I didn't start in radio till I was 29. I started doing my teaching degree when I was 26. And before that, I'd actually worked for the Liverpool Echo and I'd managed a building company. So I've worked in the real world.
So what were you doing for the Echo? Were you a journalist or were you in the admin side of it?
I was one of the dollies there taking the ads. I was in classified advertising.
Ah.
And, it was very, very sales-oriented and you had to be able to chat to people. And my downfall when I worked at the Echo was... I was too soft. I get little old ladies ringing in saying, you know, that they're downsizing because their husband had died, or old gentlemen. And they wanted to put the three-piece suite in. And I would feel desperately sorry for them. And I would say, look, and I'd look up to see if the supervisor, and I'd name names, Lena Gibson, I was terrified of her. She had long red talons. I'd look up to see if she was listening in. And if she wasn't, because you could tell, I'd say, look, don't go spending your money advertising with us. Put it in the Mersey Mart for nothing, the under 50 quid section, because I just felt morally you couldn't take the money off the old dears.
You're the patron saint of old ladies selling three-piece suites.
Oh, I tell you, my Lonesome Pines and my Lone Rangers, I love them,
So you were 29 when you... I'll say it. You went to Radio Merseyside.
Yeah.
You were 29 when you got that gig. Did you fall into it, or did you kind of go out and grasp it?
I sort of fell and grasped along the way. I was working during my holidays when I was doing my degree here in Liverpool, a Bachelor of Education. And during the holidays, I used to work for an agent. Very well. Gosh, this sways, this tower.
It does in the wind,
I'm sitting here and I feel like I'm still on a ship.
I feel like on a boat, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I used to work for a gentleman called Tony West. Do you remember Bob Carroll G's?
Yes.
Spit the dog and all that, right? Well, I used to help him out a bit in the summer holidays. And to cut a long story sideways, I sort of gegged onto Brian Jakes's show.
Yeah.
Did 20 minutes, half an hour, talking about Liverpool, the culture scene in Liverpool, singing. In those days, I used to do, you know, a few of the clubs and all of that. I used to do loads of charity work. And it snowballed from there. I actually blagged my way into Radio Merseyside. I did a booking one night. Mm. I remember it well at the Mons. a pub in Breeze Hill, and it was a fashion show for the local Hubert College. And they sent their second-in-command, wonderful, wonderful man called Ian Judson, to see me work. It was all falling to bits, but I kept them laughing. And he said to me, well, if you can handle that, you can handle radio, you know. So that's cutting, you know, a slightly longer story short. That's
I suppose you came through at a time as well when the broadcasting industry had realised, really, that it needed to get more females in because it was dominated by men. Some would say it still is. But there was a need for kind of real, likeable women to go out on the airwaves and then eventually, as you did, TV.
Yeah, well, I think in anything in life, I mean, my motto is be yourself. I've never had an act in my life. I just come on and interact with the people that are listening. And it's the same with politics, you know, you're there to look after them, not the other way around. And so as long as you're willing to listen to people, they can contact you. It was great. My audience, both there and at Radio City, they were more like friends. And I've actually still got one elderly gentleman, Eric Wilson from Mells. He still writes. And I very sadly attended the funeral of a very well-known Liverpool lady called Iris Jackson. And she's written to me for decades. And she died in her late 80s. And she was very well-known with the Hilda Fallon Road Show. She taught dancing and everything. And I was genuinely quite bereft when she passed away because she used to keep in touch, Christmas, birthdays and everything, you know. Knitted a matinee jacket for my daughter when she was born. And Ruth is now 15.
You're the broadcaster who cares, Debbie Jones.
I absolutely do. I think you should be shot if you don't. I'm sorry.
That doesn't sound very caring. Well, that sounds more like a conservative
better. Well, I'm talking about DJs and presenters that don't care. You know, I mean, I don't know. Most of the ones that I always associated with, to a large degree, did care. But there are people that do, like with politicians, career DJs, career politicians.
Take them all out the back
and
shoot them.
I have no truck for them, no.
You do have a truck. It's a truck they're going to go into the firing squad. But I tell you what, I don't know if this next song that you've chosen, the very first one, is named after perhaps a famous broadcaster in Merseyside who's called Linda, one of your old muckers, perhaps. Lady Linda by the Beach Boys.
Oh, right, Lady Linda. I love this. And I know the Linda you're talking about, she's a friend of mine, lovely, lovely lady. But no, I love this just because it's got a classical base. The actual, when you listen to the song, it's based on a piece of classical music. I interviewed the Beach Boys many years ago.
Oh, wow.
People like them and the Moody Blues, Justin Hayward, wonderful musicians who stand the test of time. This has a slight classical edge. I love the harpsichord. I just love it. And my mum loves it as well.
Okay, well, this is for you and your mum. It's the Beach Boys on City Talk 105.9. Get ready for some classical pop music. And it is Lady Linda, the first choice of Lady Debbie Jones. City Talk 105.9, that's Lady Linda by the Beach Boys. And that last bit reminded me of being a choir boy there, Debbie Jones.
I bet you were, Will Batchelor. Did you like that? Because just so that your listeners know, when I suggested it, and another one actually, he said, oh, they're old, I've never heard of that. What did you think of it?
We had to nip over to Radio Merseyside to get that one.
cheeky thing.
I liked it, and I've got to be honest, I do love the Beach Boys, but I suppose because, I mean, I've got Pet Sounds, I've got, you know, one of the best of albums, but I just don't think I've heard that one before.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's an old one, but it's really, really good.
Good stuff.
I enjoyed that, and so did my mum.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad your mum probably enjoyed it as well. You've got four more tracks coming up as well, so hopefully we'll enjoy those just as much that you're going to save from this metaphorical house fire that we like to put our guests into on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. And before we go to your second one, though, that was a Freudian slip, wasn't it? Before we go to your...
And I look rough today.
Before we go to your second one, we're going to talk about your favourite film or TV series, which is...
Well, I loved The New Statesman.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed it.
For those who don't know, tell us about The New Statesman. Okay. It was Alan Bastard, wasn't it?
The New Statesman, it's based on a completely unscrupulous, exactly the type of politician I can't abide.
Yeah.
But you have to laugh. You've got, in all things, you can find a sense of humour. It's based on... Alan Clark, the Alan Clark Diaries.
Yeah.
And he is so completely lacking in scruples, in morals, in compassion. But it's funny the way they do it. Only the way Rick Mayall, to me, he's a complete chameleon of an actor. I mean, I used to love, all those decades ago, the young ones.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably too young to remember that, aren't you?
I remember my brother watching it, and I didn't quite understand it at the time. It's a bit like Monty Python. When you're young, you don't quite get why it's funny.
Well, I didn't get Monty Python, and I didn't enjoy Monty Python, but I loved the young ones. And having said that, I watched the young ones a couple of months ago. It came up on some satellite channel, and I watched it again, and it left me completely cold. Didn't make me laugh at all. It was very studenty, but at that time I loved it. And Rick Mayall was in that. And he was so plug ugly, and he was so unattractive, and he was made to look like some nerdy, geeky,
greasy, spotty student.
Yeah, he looked awful. But this is the sad thing: in the New Statesman, I get a little bit of a movement. I quite fancy him.
Is that because all women secretly like a bastard?
Well, I think there is a little bit of that in it. You want a nice, loving, dependable man, but they've got to have a little bit of bastard in them, haven't they? You know, they've got to be a little bit...
So many unsuitable jokes racing through my head at the moment, which I can't...
If you want to keep your job, you don't want that P45 to flutter from above. Don't give vent to them.
But it's fair to say you are a conservative. You're going to be the PPC for Sefton Central, and you're an elected councillor as well for the Conservative Party. Do you not think that the New Statesman did terrible things to the image of the Conservative Party at the time, along with Spitting Image and the others? It was part of the downfall when, in that late 80s, when everyone was looking at them and going, oh, God, I can't stand this bunch any longer.
No, because I think the general public have more brains than that. What they've done is they've taken an amalgam of, Alan Clark, because, you know, if you've read his diaries, I've just started. I haven't read them totally. But if you look at him, there's a great similarity. But in every party, there are Alan Bastards. There are career politicians that they get there, and all they're interested in is the trappings, the ego, all of that. Now, I'm quite lucky. In the past, with the telly, with the radio, I've led a very blessed and charmed life. I've had a lovely time. When I was working for BBC TV, I was treated extremely well and picked up in nice cars and all of this. So I've had my ego massage. That's all done and dusted and behind me. I don't need... for me, my idea of a super night is to go out for a nice meal in a restaurant that I know, with my husband, with my daughter, if she hasn't got a cob on, because they do when they're 15, don't they? With my mum. I'd love it to still be with my dad, but sadly I can't, because my dad's in care now. But that is what I enjoy now. In my slightly younger years, and I used to love all the trappings, but it doesn't mean diddly squat to me now, to be honest.
So you've gone through your Alanis Bastard phase.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think you've got to give the public the due. People know it's funny. People of every party laughed at that, and there were people of every party represented by Alan Bastard.
And to be fair, if you'd chosen a satire that perhaps mocks the Labour Party, I'm thinking In the Thick of It or something like that, then I would have probably accused you of doing it to score political points anyway. So the fact that you've chosen one that mocks the Conservative Party largely
is hysterical.
Good.
It's hysterical.
Well, you can save the New Statesman with pleasure. You can enjoy looking at Rick Mayall in a sharp suit as Alan Bastard. And you can also enjoy your second song, which is by the 3 Degrees. Which one have you gone for?
Well, I've gone for, but it's my absolute favourite, When Will I See You Again? Because it reminds me of seeing the 3 Degrees. I saw them, I think it was at Fagan's in Manchester, and I'm pretty darn sure I saw them at Allinson's as well, Allinson's in Litherland, which I thought was the most marvellous, marvellous club. You know, I thought it was great.
Went out, taken out.
And I used to sing when I got into the singing and I started doing the cabaret. I used to sing at Allinson's and occasionally double at the She Club as well in Victoria Street.
Yeah.
I mean, all the acts existed, cabaret in those times. It was, oh, gosh, when would it be? Late 70s to late 80s. Happy days, you know, absolutely great days with the cabaret circuit. It was great.
Fantastic. Well, you can relive those days now if you like, because we are going to play your song, the second choice of Debbie Jones, on today's Take Five on City Talk 105.9. You're right, he's only against the dentists. It is When Will I See You Again by The 3 Degrees. You'll see me again in about 2.5 minutes. City Talk 105.9, that is The 3 Degrees, the second choice of my guest for today on Take Five, who is Debbie Jones, the broadcaster turned political animal, and she has got three more songs. Yes, animal. And you've been singing during that as well and hitting the notes just about. We shall hear if she hits any more notes. Three more records to come still from Debbie Jones. Plus, we'll find out which book, which photograph and which object she will be saving from this metaphorical house fire as well in just a couple of minutes' time on City Talk 105.9.
This is Take Five, City Talk 105.9.
She's right, you know, it is City Talk 105.9 with me, Will Batchelor, joining you every weekday between 2 and 3 for Take Five, the show which each and every different weekday invites a different guest to imagine that their house is on fire and which five records they would save from the flames, obviously after they've got their family and their pets out. That goes without saying, Debbie Jones, who is my guest for this hour, the broadcaster. Do you still see yourself as a... You still broadcast, don't you?
I still do occasionally, Will. The thing is, with the lead-up to the general election, the main thing I've been doing for the past 7 years is the glorious world of shopping TV.
Shopping telly, yeah.
Selly telly, which is great fun. You're pretty decently paid, so you can do a couple of days a week and it's fine. But
where do you do the filming for that, by the way?
Well, it's not filming, it's all live. It's all live. I mean, apart from the occasional thing for JML, you know. But you mainly in the south of England.
Yeah.
So the travelling, the last time I was on screen, I think it was about February, I was doing some stuff for QVC. And the travelling, with the election looming, the travelling sort of started to get in... It started to interfere with my campaigning a bit, so I'll pull back on it. But what happens is, and I'm very... As I say, I'm very blessed, very lucky. As I need a bit more money, I do a few more jobs. It's as simple as that. You know, I have to work like everybody else does.
Does it help you on the doorstep, though? When you're knocking doors in Crosby and Formby in the surrounding area?
Mughal, Aintree, Melling, Lydia,
Get them all in.
Freshfield. Well, no, you see, people just imagine, because the old constituency was called Crosby.
Yeah.
People think Crosby and Formby. But it's a huge constituency now with the boundary changes. So, it's been very helpful. It was
take both... Hey, you're that bird off the telly.
Yeah, it very, very, very often. It was a help and a hindrance, because for the first 2 years, bear in mind, I've been doing this now 5 years, so I'm not brand new to it anymore by any means. And at first, people, I've very, very, very rarely, I mean, I think I can say about 2 or 3 times, encountered really naked aggression, naked hostility. Because
actually naked, or?
Well,
never know your luck.
If you saw the two guys, no, one had a poodle under his arm.
Right?
Would you believe, a poodle under his arm, and grey and pink fluffy pyjama bottoms? I can tell you.
And what was his problem with you?
Oh gosh, it was
that you were a Tory, or that he'd bought some dodgy goods off you at some point.
No, that I was taking a photograph of his grass verge. To be honest with you. Oh, I could tell you, it was a funny story, and he started shouting his mouth off. But anyway, it was funny, because I couldn't get narked, and I couldn't be narky back, because the man there talking like that and saying, you know, what are you going to do for me? And I said, well, I'm trying to sort your grass. Well, what are you... And he's standing there and with these fluffy pyjama bottoms, and his poodle escaped. He said, look what you've done! You've let me poodle out! I thought, the Lord forbid, dear. I wouldn't want to touch your poodle. But anyway, so I called it, grabbed the poodle, gave him the poodle back. But anyway, so I've only ever had a couple of him and one other older gentleman. Who are, and it's because they are, I suspect, you know, staunchly with another party. And I respect that. That's their point of view. We'd live in a police state if we were all one party. So, you know, the cut and thrust of political banter, it's a very good thing. It's very good.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, you get to save one photograph from this metaphorical fire. And I believe the photograph you're saving is actually that one of the grass verge with the man of the with the poodle on it, isn't it?
I wish I'd have taken a photo of him. But no, the one I would say, it reminds me of the happiest day of my life. And a lot of people will go, oh, I wish I hadn't. But I am. I've been married now, oh, heck, 17 years, I think it is, this September. This month, of course, the 19th of September. 17 years ago, I took that final long walk down the aisle with my lovely husband, Steve Doran. And we've got a beautiful photograph. It is a lovely photograph because I've never liked my chin. I've always laughed and said, oh, I haven't got much of a chin here. And we're facing each other. And he was just about to say, he was saying he had his hand just cupped around my chin.
Yeah.
You know, like he was going to just kiss me.
Gotcha.
And I'm gazing up into his eyes.
Or check your molars.
Yeah, check my molars. I'm gazing into his eyes, laughing. It's just the beginning of a laugh, because he was actually saying, and I remember this, he said, ha, you're worth more to me now, dead than alive. Shall I throttle you? and I started laughing. And the fellow that took the photograph, he's taken photographs for me, and I'm just in the process of having all my publicity shots throughout the past 22, 23 years. It's not up and running yet, but put onto my website because I'm having my website refreshed. And we've
all got photos, or the early ones, oil paintings?
No, they're all from Merseyside, City, BBC.
Gotcha.
And the short hair, red hair, long hair, blonde hair, dark hair. And it's great fun. There's big 80s hair. But this photograph, the guy that's always taken these for me is Ron Davis. He's a local man. He's great. He's a super guy. And he knows how to make a silk purse out of a sound ear, baby, because he always makes me look halfway decent.
Was he the Ron Davis who took the picture of the Iron Men at Crosby and did the calendars? Yeah,
yes,
I've got one of those at home. Fantastic.
He's a lovely guy. He's a friend now, you know. I've known him for so many years. But he captured this moment of, you know, shall I choke you now because you're worth more dead than alive? And yet it looks, and it is funny because I laughed, it looks the most romantic, tender, I'm just going to kiss your sweet lips photograph. And that's why I love it.
It's metaphor for a good marriage, I suppose.
Well,
you can have fun
it.
And joke about these things as well. But
that's
a fine photograph to save you and your husband, Steve, and you can grab that from the wall of your house as you flee the metaphorical flames. And you can also grab a third song as well. And you have gone for Billy Ocean as your third
Well, this has been, this has been really, I suppose, my theme song. And the funny thing is, when I very, very first started on radio, we were given a record of the week.
Mm.
And this was given to me. This was my very first ever record of the week.
Or given by the boss and said, play this? Or...
Yeah. There was someone who was in charge of music, and we were each presenter, because we preferred, and I still preferred presenter to DJ, because I always think a presenter, like your good self, Will, is a DJ with brains that can actually carry out a decent conversation and do a proper interview. That's a presenter as opposed to a hey-ho DJ. So this was given to me, and it's very true, when the going gets tough, you know, you just have to get going and get things sorted out. And I love it. It's a good song.
A fine motto, and could be one from when you're out schlepping on those doorsteps in Crosby and Melling and Aintree and all those other places well. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. It's the third choice of my guest today. It was Debbie Jones on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. 105.9, that's Billy Ocean. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that is the theme tune, if you like, of my guest for today on Take 5, who is Debbie Jones. She's just peeping out at me from the other side of the microphone. I can't see you now. Now we've rearranged the mics. I'll just wave at you behind that equipment over there.
Okay.
Debbie is taking me through the five records that she would rescue from her home if it was on fire, plus a few other bits and pieces as well. We've heard which photo you'd take. It's you and your husband, Steve. We would know which TV series you'd take. It's The New Statesman with Alan Bastard. I suppose the opposite end of the spectrum for which book you would save from the flames.
Yeah, well, I thought about this long and hard because I'm quite an avid reader.
Mm.
And over the last 5 years, I've read more factual books and more political books to try and expand my knowledge, obviously, as you would. But if you ever, you know, God forbid if there was ever a house fire, you can get any book again, more or less. You can get any book again. And the one that is precious to me, my mum bought me a Bible many, many years ago. My mum bought me a Bible when we got married. And I am a born-again Christian as well.
Mm.
And the Bible has got all of human life is there. I mean, you know, it's not a barrel of laughs reading it, and I've never completely read it through, but I do dip in. I go mainly now to Kingsway Church in Waterloo.
Hmm.
You know, very, very evangelical.
I was about to say, you call yourself born again, does that mean, and I mean this respectfully, it's happy-clappy? No.
Well, it is, actually. I mean, no, you don't need to be happy-clappy. I mean, I still go, my actual parish church is St. Michael's Blundell Sands, which is where I was married. Steve and I were married. My daughter Ruth was christened. My mum still goes there. I drop her off every Sunday because their service is half an hour before ours. And the thing is, it's something sentimental to me that my mum gave me. I've got a couple of passages marked in it. I mean, it's just a lovely Bible, and it means a lot. And it reminds me of my mum as well, because there's a funny side to this. As I say, there's always a funny side to everything. My mum is 84, and she is a babe. She looks fantastic. She's rich, she's small, she doesn't quite hit 5 foot. She's about 4'11". Always got a lippy on, big blonde hair, got her eyelashes, eyeshadow on. In fact, I remember many years ago, Herbert, you know Herbert the hairdresser?
Yeah,
well, he came round to our house. We were all going out to see something, I don't know. And my mum saw him, and he had this very pale pink suit on. And my mum went up to him, and she said, "Herbert!" And she flung her arms around him and, you know, nestled into round about nipple level. You know, that's how small she is. Her head. His, not hers, by the way.
I'm with you.
And when she drew away, it was like the shroud of Turin on his pale pink jacket. There were two little bits of blue eyeshadow, two pink cheeks and a pair of pink lips.
Did he have to go home and get changed?
No, he wore it with pride. So she's like that, and she does the readings at church very often, and she sometimes uses this Bible, and she'll change the names, Will, if she doesn't like the names. a couple of weeks ago, there was this long passage she was reading, and what I do, I will either type it out or magnify it, on the photocopier so that she can read it properly. But it was things like the Hittites and the Hittites and the Shittites and the Lipites and the Dittites and all this. And she said, "Oh, I'm not saying that word. I'm not saying that." So she altered that tribe. She altered the whole tribe of Judah.
Yeah. This is the word of the Lord, or in some cases, yes, just the words of Debbie Jones's mum, Ruth Jones.
This is the word of Ruth Jones.
This is mainly the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Well, good for her. That's what I like to say. I think more people should, you know, just
like Mrs. Bouquet, you know, she's fab. She's absolute. And she still goes over to school, you know, every Wednesday, and does assembly and plays the piano every
good
Wednesday.
Stuff. That is a fine piece of literature to save. It is the Bible that you got from your mum, Ruth, who we believe is listening to us right now on City Talk
105.9. Well, that's if she's been able to find it, because she can't find anything on the radio.
It's at the end of the dial, dear. 105.9. Move it up from the other one.
Yeah.
Right. And do move it up and keep it there, because you've got two more songs to come still from Debbie Jones that she'll be rescuing from this metaphorical fire, plus an object as well. That is all coming up on City Talk 105.9.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
Yes, indeed. Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor. And coming up in about 15 minutes' time, after the news at 3 o'clock, Peter McDowell will be driving you home. You have 4 hours of the Mac. My God, that's more than enough for anyone. 6 till 7, don't forget, of that show is always City Talks Football. So if you want to get something off your chest about the Reds, the Blues, or indeed the Whites, then give Mac a call between 6 and 7. Debbie Jones, are you a red or a blue or a white?
I am probably more of a blue than a red.
You don't sound very convincing on this one.
I'm not convinced at all, because I'm one of those awful people. I'm, you know, a football, as in it doesn't float my boat. I know it's so precious to so many people, but I'd rather watch a bit of Formula One. I'm not into footy. I will say that I'm an Evertonian because my campaign director, Martin Barber, is such a rabid Evertonian that if I dared to say that I was anything other than that, he'd probably leave me and go and work for another party. You probably defect, you know. So I'll have to say I'm an Evertonian.
Okay, well, you can say that. F1's interesting. I didn't have you down as an F1 fan, is it?
Well, my husband, when we met, just the year prior to that, he'd just come home from working for a Group C racing car team
right.
all around the world with Porsche. And he did Le Mans and he did...
What was he doing for them?
Well, he was doing things like camber caster, corner weighting to make sure it actually runs right. And he came home. I mean, I didn't know him when he was there. I only met him just as he came back. And, you know, he had a stomach ulcer with the stress because he said there'd be a car careering around. They were a small team, but very, very successful. Mm. And he said there'd be a car careering around a bend. And he'd suddenly think, did I tighten that wheel nut?
Yeah.
And he'd call it in. And, you know, it loses so many seconds.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that very often, you know, but he said he's such a thorough man, my husband, about things like that. And motorbikes, he rides bikes and he goes trail riding with his friends.
What about you? Because if you like watching it, do you like driving as well? Have you treated yourself to some kind of sports car?
Oh, you're joking, aren't you? No, because I'm not working that much at the moment because I'm campaigning. No, I haven't bought a new car now for probably about 8-9 years.
Doesn't look great as well for a prospective MP if you turn up in a Porsche as well. It's just not the right image to send out, I guess.
Probably not, but I have had one in the past.
Have you?
No, well, dim and distant past. I had a 924, a second-hand 924, which was fab. And that's when I was doing the clubs, and it was the most reliable car. I could open the boot, fabulous big hatchback. I could fit a full PA system into it. Never, ever let me down. The insurance, contrary to popular belief, was low. It was just wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And then I got a 944, always second-hand, never got a new one, because that Steve used to then have a company then, he had his own company, and he could fix it for me, so it was great.
Oh, fantastic.
In fact, that's how I met him. I had then a Triumph Stag, which needed a decoke and rebore as well as me. So.
Oh, you ruined my joke there. There we go. Your eyes met over the decoking and reboring, start of a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
You've got two more songs to choose, Debbie, before the show is up, and we better press on. The next one you've chosen is by the Eurythmics. Tell us about this one.
Well, it's Annie Lennox, There Must Be an Angel Playing in My Heart. I love Annie Lennox. I think she is an immensely talented musician. Her records are always very uplifting. I think she's great. She also had a bit of a problem with vocal nodules. Mm. Now, I've had that twice, and funnily enough, so has Dana, you know, lovely Dana. And do you know, he's looking at me blank, you're too
Dana,
young.
Dana, the Eurovision Song Contest. Yes, yes.
Da, da, da. Yeah, Dana.
Well, there was the other one, there was Dana International, wasn't there?
Oh, gosh, I don't know about that.
Ah, there you go, I've beaten you.
You've beaten me. So Dana had it, and Annie Lennox. And Dana rang me about it, and she said Annie was on the phone to her, and we were having a three-way conversation about nodules. So, you know, I just always feel a bit of sympathy with her. And this is a cracking record.
It's the Nodule Club. And
it is.
Debbie Jones, Annie Lennox as well. There she is, City Talk 105.9. And it is There Must Be an Angel. 105.9, that is the Eurythmics and There Must Be an Angel. That was the fourth choice of my guest for this hour on Take 5, who is Debbie Jones. Nearly approaching the end of the hour now, and we've got to get one more song in before you go, Debbie, and it is an absolute belter by a lady's name, Valerie, which we'll get to very shortly. Before we do that, though, you have to save an object from the flames as well. What have you gone for?
Well, it was a toss-up between my mobile phone. Well, got two mobile phones because I absolutely cannot do without it. People ring me all times of the day and night, and I'm too darn nosy to switch it off.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But the other thing is, though, I don't know, it'd have to be probably my laptop, because I get after the spam and all the rubbish people send you, I probably get 90, 100 emails a day, and it's just such... with Google information, I don't know how people manage without one, to be honest with you. So it's a very boring item, but one that in my current capacity, you know, my political capacity, you just can't live without them.
Speaking of politics, yep. I can't let you go without asking you this. A general election, I heard someone say the other day they could see one happening in October, as early as, if not, it'll have to be next year.
Yes.
Do you rate your chances?
I I'm a bit like a prize fighter. I keep my head down and I keep on slogging away. And my guard up, yes. And I've never stopped campaigning because I did actually stand in 2005, but I'd only been selected. Oh, gosh, it was under a year that we started campaigning. So you can't sort of get someone out in only 8 months, 9 months. And then I went on to win a council seat and I got 50% of the vote there, which is pretty good. So my chances, I feel I stand a chance. I stand a decent chance. And the political sort of betting fraternity are betting me as odds on to win. But what you have to do is not believe that. Mm. And it's the people. It all depends whether the people think that they can trust you, whether you will be a voice for them and not just for the party. And that's it. So really, I'm cautiously optimistic, but never, never totally optimistic. I've just got to work extremely hard between now and the general election.
We shall watch this space and see what happens with that new ward of Sefton Central. Exciting stuff, Debbie
Your
Jones.
Constituency, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, constituency. Yeah. Do apologise. Your final song is Valerie by Steve Winwood. Tell us why.
Well, I just remember, again, I'd been to Belize working for the radio, BFBS, British Forces Broadcasting Service, and we were quite new in our relationship, me and Steve, and he picked me up in a nice, shiny car. He looked all gorgeous. He was suntan. And so was I. Got in the car and this was battering out of the speakers.
Good enough
Happy
reason.
Days,
Good
yeah.
enough reason as any. Debbie Jones, PPC for Sefton Central and councillor for the Manor Ward on Sefton Council. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. Coming up next is the news at 3 o'clock, after which Peter McDowell is driving you home. In the meantime, here's a bit of Valerie, the original one, Stevie Winwood.